This is Judy Garland.
This is Tom from Blink-182.
I'm Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine.
And I'm Marilyn Manson.
This is Aurelio Voltaire, and you're listening to the Sounds of Halloween.
Podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. And we are in the midst of the Sounds of Halloween right now on the Sounds of Christmas, playing the best variety of Halloween music. And that's one of the things I get asked about the most. What is Halloween music? Everybody has an idea, even if it's not all the same, of what Christmas music is, or at least what Christmas music is for them. And, you know, I won't get into the weeds on that of no, Baby, It's Cold Outside is not a Christmas song. I don't care if it means Christmas to you. That's great. But for Halloween songs, after you do Monster Mash and Ghostbusters and a couple of the most popular ones, a lot of people don't kind of have an idea of what Halloween songs are. So I had the idea of getting together some Christmas podcasters, people who love Christmas, and there is a lot in that group of people who love Christmas who also love Halloween. And I thought it would be fun to kind of go down some of our favorite Halloween songs, making a giant list, really, and let everybody get a better idea of what Halloween songs are and share some of our favorites. This is not just a sneaky way for me to find more songs to add, but that might happen too. And this is the second part. I already did one episode with a couple of other podcasters, and you don't have to have listened to that first. You won't be lost. It'll be okay. I am joined by Kristen, Colin, and Bob on this episode. Kristen does the Holidays After Dark podcast. Colin does Scrooge, A Christmas Carol podcast. And Bob does... Bob, I always mess up yours.
Festive Foreign Film Fans.
Festive Foreign Films Fans podcast.
It's a mouthful.
It is. Well, since I already spent a bunch of time on that, Bob, why don't you sort of explain what your podcast is all about?
Sure, Ken. It's so Festive Foreign Film Fans. We are fans of festive foreign films. So what we do is each episode we pick a new country and we watch a Christmas movie from that country. And we also listen to a Christmas song from that country. And then we discuss the customs and the traditions in that country. And it's interesting because, you know, we go into countries where the Christians are a very, very small minority. We've done, you know, Muslim countries, we've covered, you know, so a number of them. And it, you know, it adds a lot of different elements that some of the things you don't think about or, you know, experience in maybe some of the other podcasts.
And Kristen, I know you've been on with us before, but for anybody who didn't know before or hasn't caught your podcast yet, what's Holidays After Dark all about?
Sure. Holidays After Dark is a year-round podcast that covers all the major holidays and even some smaller ones. So we definitely have a big focus on Halloween and Christmas, but all holidays, all the time is kind of my motto. And specifically with the After Dark portion, I love diving into like the weird, maybe lesser known or kind of spooky elements, even of holidays that are not meant to be spooky or obviously spooky. But digging up the kind of the dark side of the holidays, if you will.
Okay. And Colin, I have a kind of an idea based on the title of your podcast, Scrooge, A Christmas Carol. But what specifically is it about?
Sure. So last year I launched Scrooge, A Christmas Carol podcast. And in the first season, I talked about every film and TV adaptation that still exists from 1935, which is the first sound adaptation, until the end of the 70s. And then in the off season, I talk about various things related to the book or even non-seasonal adaptations. We're about to launch the second season, where I'm going to be starting in the 80s. So the second season is going to cover the Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol up through the Muppets Christmas Carol, everything in between. A lot of nostalgic versions in there. And on each episode, I talk about usually one adaptation. Occasionally, I'll make it two at once if there's a theme or they're lesser known, shorter adaptations. But yeah, I cover all the adaptations that exist on film and TV during November and December.
And that, I know that just had a big birthday. Was it last year? The year before? A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I think it was, I know it was the 1840s. So I think, yeah, it probably just had the 180th, if my math is right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a special on the sounds of Christmas of all the music from A Christmas Carol. Well, a lot of the music, because there's a lot of versions.
So many.
Yeah. So I tried to get a little something from as many as I could up through, this was a couple years ago, so I guess I included Spirited and the animated Scrooge that was on Netflix.
Right,
so I guess I got that far. But that was a lot of fun and discovering so much.
But yeah, so many.
But anyhow,
Colin, is your podcast year round?
So it is weekly during the Christmas season, and then year round, I do a once a month episode. What I did this season was off season. I talked about part of the book, and I would break down kind of the cultural references in the book. So I would have an audio book play, and then I would come in, talk about cultural references or a little bit of context or various things talked about in the book. I just do, you know, other kinds of episodes throughout the year, but the main meat of the podcast is November, December.
Just out of curiosity, and I'll ask the other guys this too. Colin, how did you decide to do Scrooge, A Christmas Carol podcast?
Sure. So I've loved A Christmas Carol, honestly, all my life. I was 4 years old when I saw Mickey's Christmas Carol. So from the beginning of my life, I was watching it and reading it. And I just started thinking about all the different adaptations. I had blogged about a few years ago. And I was starting to write, I was like, could I write a book about the various adaptations? And I started looking at what I had written about the early ones. And I'm like, this should be a podcast. So I did that, really enjoyed doing it. It got a really good response. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to more.
And Kristen, how did Holidays After Dark come about?
So it kind of combines like the two main sides of my personality, which is like holiday lover, which I've been a huge holiday lover ever since I was a kid. My parents used to tell stories about how I would cry like every single time a holiday ended, acting like it was never going to come around again. And then as I grew up and I kind of leaned to the alternative. I love, you know, the goth aesthetic, punk rock aesthetic. My house is very kind of darkly decorated. And so I like finding out the like weird elements of things that maybe scare people or are not the bright and shiny surface level stuff. And so I just kind of, when I was thinking about starting a podcast, just to have a fun hobby, I just kind of combined my two loves of holidays and everything alternative, and then that's how we landed on Holidays After Dark.
And Bob, how did you get going with the Festive Foreign Film Fans podcast?
You know, when I was traveling for work, when I would travel internationally, I used to enjoy on the planes watching foreign movies because I thought I'm traveling internationally, so I'd watch. And occasionally I'd watch these foreign Christmas movies. And I'm like, this is really good. I'm really shocked. I was surprised. And I listened to a lot of Christmas podcasts, and I used to send in like notes and say, how come you guys don't cover this movie? Or how come we cover this movie? And then finally I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'll just cover the movies. And so that's where it came from.
So let's just jump in. We'll go around, each of us contributing a song as we go, and see how our lists go. Kristen, you want to start things off with your number 10?
Sure. So my number 10, funny enough, is like a song that actually kind of gets on my nerves after like the few time first few times of hearing it every season, but I feel like it's so quintessential Halloween to me that I had to include it on the list, is Spooky Scary Skeletons by Andrew Gold. It's kind of, I don't know, I see it pop up randomly, I feel, in like, I don't know, like cartoony type online stuff that I see. And like I said, it's one of those songs where like you hear it and like it's in my head the rest of the day. But it's a fun one, so that's that had to break into the top 10.
That's one that I have been surprised to see is suddenly starting to get covered by other
Okay.
singers and bands. So you'll probably find if Andrew Gold's version gets on your nerves, maybe one of the others
Yeah.
will be all right.
I need like a punk rock version or something. Maybe I can find it.
Colin, what's on your list? What's your number 10?
Sure. So I mostly tried to avoid obvious ones because I had so many interesting niche pulls, but there's one or two that are kind of obvious. Started with a song that's pretty much haunting in every version, which is House of the Rising Sun, but had to pick my favorite version, which is by Nina Simone.
Nice.
So, there's that old cliche about, oh, an artist makes a song their own, but when Nina Simone sings a song, it's hers. She doesn't have all the verses here. If you hear like the Bob Dylan version, it has all of the verses. Love that version. Love the famous version by the Animals, but the Nina Simone version is the one for me. Absolutely love it. So soulful, so haunting. I was just listening to it again earlier today, and yeah, the perfect version of that song.
It's funny. I have noticed that some songs, some covers are much more Halloween-y than their originals. And sometimes covered by the same artist. Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac had a hit in the 80s with a song called Go Insane. And he did a live version of that sometime in the last 5 or 10 years. And it is so creepy. It's the kind of song that if you somehow found yourself in an old abandoned hotel, that might be the song coming down the corridor from somewhere. It's just real. The song itself, you listen to the 80s pop version, not spooky, not scary at all, really. But this one, so creepy. So creepy. Bob, what's your number 10?
What's it called? What's it? Oh wait, what's that one called again, Ken? I'm marking it down because I don't know that one.
Go Insane by Lindsey Buckingham, the live version from the last, I don't know. It might be the only live version he's done. So Bob, what's your number 10?
My number 10 is, and he's done a song, I think, since he first introduced this one, like every year since, but they've all gone, I think, further d downhill. But this one was fun. And I thought really kind of a great party song was Spooky Boy by Danny Gonzalez.
Oh, nice. Nice. Do you guys know that one?
I do not know.
It's fun.
It is a fun one. And I would agree with you. I think that's definitely the best. My number 10 is by a group called the Flat Five. And in listening to this, I thought they were an older, maybe a 50s, probably a 60s group. But this came out 8 years ago. And it's their version of The Raven. It's just called The Raven. And they just it and it's just harmonies singing the poem The Raven. And it's just so different than really anything else. Just Once Upon a Midnight Dreary. And it's just fun. And you probably know most of the words, even if you don't have the poem memorized. But it's just entertaining. And I was really surprised that this wasn't some sort of 60s bop. But kudos to them. Kristen, what's next for you?
Number 9. So I'm a massive Marilyn Manson fan. Like massive doesn't even begin to describe it. So number 9 is "Don't Chase the Dead" by Marilyn Manson, which obviously not like intended to be a Halloween song, I would say, but thematically I feel that it fits really well. it's Marilyn Manson, so he can't really do any wrong for me. So there's a few of his songs that I listen to, especially during the Halloween time. So don't chase the dead. I mean, the title says enough.
His cover of This Is Halloween is pretty good, too.
Oh, yes. That may or may not be to come on my list.
Okay. Apologizing for spoiling it.
No worries.
Colin, what's next for you?
All right. So my number nine is called Something Wicked This Way Comes, and it's by Lucinda Williams. It's not related to Macbeth, really, or the Ray Bradbury book, but a great title for any of those. And people probably know her 90s stuff, which is obviously wonderful. In the 2000s and onward, she got a lot darker and bluesier. And this is from her double album, Where the Spirit Meets the Bone. Really, really strong double album. And I love this song. Just a blues rock song about an evil presence, possibly the devil. She has a lot of religious imagery in her songs. But yeah, it's just a vibe. I really think of this one when I think of Halloween, again, because the title and just the whole feel of the song, it's really atmospheric and I love it.
Yeah, I do too. That was really close to making my list tonight.
Oh, cool.
Very close. Love that one. Bob, what's next for you?
You know, and this one might be considered novelty, although I don't think so. And I loved it because when I used to play it, when my son, who's now 30 or whatever, when he was 5 and 6, it scared the life out of him. But it's Halloween by Stephen Lynch.
Wow. I haven't even thought about that one in a while. That's great. When did that come out? Do you know?
I don't. I should have it. I would say like 05, maybe 2005.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. I think I might have one novelty coming up. Maybe two. next for me is Anthony Warlow from the soundtrack to the musical Jekyll and Hyde. I couldn't decide which of the songs, so I have No One Must Ever Know and The World Has Gone Insane. These are both being sung by Dr. Jekyll in various stages as he's dealing with discovering that what has happened to him and waiting for supposed antidotes to come and worried about what's going on and if anybody's going to find out. It's really creepy, and there just aren't a whole lot of Jekyll and Hyde songs. So I love both of those.
There's Kristen, some really good songs in that musical, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's a really underrated musical and ripe for a revival. Kristen,
yeah,
what's next for you?
So staying on the theme of rock artists, I chose Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie. I'm also a big Rob Zombie fan, pretty decent fan of the movies that he's done as well. But I mean, this song, again, like I just get such like Halloween imagery. Like I love it's just like a powerhouse song to me. Anytime I hear it throughout the year, I get super excited. And like, if you ever see Rob Zombie live, like he really puts on like an incredible stage show with like giant animatronics and like, it's just very highly produced, but in a really cool, like horror, type of way. And so, yeah, Living Dead Girl, and he has many other songs that I also would listen to this time of year, especially, but Living Dead Girl is my favorite.
Very cool. Colin, what's next for you?
All right. Well, speaking of novelty, I have a song called Haunted Mansion by the comedian Emmy Adejuwibe, playing the character of Ray Parker Jr., the Ghostbusters guy. So the premise of the song is that Ray Parker Jr. wrote Ghostbusters, and now his house is being haunted by ghosts who are annoyed by the song. And he just lists off all these famous ghosts who are haunting him. It's so funny. A friend just sent this to me a few weeks ago, and it made my list because it absolutely cracked me up. It's very, very funny.
Any idea when it came out?
It's on YouTube. It's from a stand-up comedy set, but I think it's about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay. Okay, that's what I need to find. Bob, what's next for you?
I think so. What are we at? Eight? Number eight for me, I believe. I'm picking Skeleton Song by Kate Nash. And the reason being is it gets stuck in my head whenever I listen to it. It's so fun, the whole song and the imagery in the song, but it's really more that it's kind of an earworm. That's why I love about it.
It is very catchy. My number eight is David Bowie putting out Fire with Gasoline. The first time I heard it, the guy in the radio had just finished reading The Stand, and I also had just read The Stand by Stephen King, and he said, here's one that could probably be the song for the trash can man in The Stand. And he played the song, and I have always connected it. I am fairly certain, since this was in Cat People, I'm fairly certain that David Bowie had no intention of connecting this to The Stand at all, and it really has nothing to do with it. But to me, it is always connected because of that one moment. So putting out Fire with Gasoline. Kristen, what's next for you?
Number seven, and I feel like this is a pretty common choice among people's Halloween playlists, is Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. So it's just so catchy. Like, I know that it's cliche, but it's so catchy. And every time I hear it for the first time, it kind of signals that Halloween has begun for me. And I even find myself getting creeped out about it when I'm in the shower and he's like, I'm afraid to close my eyes and find someone standing. Like, it haunts me. Like, it's in my head all season long. So I had to put it on there.
Okay. Morris Day did an entertaining cover of that. It's pretty close to Rockwell's, so he didn't really make it his own, but it's still pretty fun.
Okay.
Colin, what's next for you?
All right. It's a good time to be a Bruce Springsteen fan lately, because there was a box set that just came out. There's a box set coming out. He's releasing everything in the vault, it would seem. But he's got plenty of spooky songs. My favorite would have to be from Nebraska, his acoustic album, and it's called State Trooper. It is a very, very disturbing look into the mind of a man who is not well as he is driving and being chased by a cop. And there are howls and groans, and it's just really, really deeply unsettling. If you know the cover of the album Nebraska, just that empty black and white road, that's what I'm thinking of when I hear this song. It's very, very spooky.
I was really surprised. In addition to these box sets, Springsteen has been releasing, or his label has been releasing, all of these albums and EPs of live collections of different things. And one of them, I think it was sometime in the last year, he did Ghostbusters.
Yes, yeah.
He did?
And you wouldn't think Bruce Springsteen would do Ghostbusters. But yeah, it's like a 2.5-3 minute version that he did live. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it was recorded at some October, but it's Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, he's done a version of the Monster Mash too, which is very silly.
Yeah.
Can you find that? I don't think I've ever heard that.
I don't know if the Monster Mash is streaming, although you could probably find it on YouTube.
It's just on YouTube, yeah.
The version of Ghostbusters is streaming. You can find that. It's I don't know what the live collection was.
One of the covers collections, probably the most recent one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's number four. But yeah, Bruce Ghostbusters. Bob, what's next for you?
My next one, and I feel like you, this one is kind of an obvious choice, but I really enjoy it at the Halloween time, and it's The Monster by Eminem and who's he singing it with?
Rihanna.
Oh, Rihanna. Yeah, Rihanna.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's so, again, it's probably everybody has on their list, but I enjoy that one.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that song doesn't get more airplay and more notice at this time of year, especially at this time of year. Maybe it will now. Next for me is a song from Toto called Stranger in Town. And it is very creepy, about some man in black who may be killing people, and you better watch out, there's a stranger in town. And it all takes place at night, and you got to stay a step ahead of him, and he's following you. But it's very cool and creepy, and this is something that they released. I don't think it was a single, although there's a video for it, so maybe there was a single. But this was after their giant success with Rosanna and Africa. It was after that album, and I don't think it went anywhere, but it's such a great October song, in my humble opinion, anyway. Kristen, what's next for you?
Number six, I have Skeleton Sam by Lovercraft, I think is how you pronounce it. It's missing all the vowels and all caps, but I'm pretty sure that's what they're called. But it's from the Hocus Pocus 2 soundtrack, is where I discovered it anyway. And I don't know if it was written specifically for the movie or not, but it's so fun. I'm a big Hocus Pocus 2 fan. I actually like it better than the original Hocus Pocus. But yeah, as soon as that movie came out a few years ago and I listened to the soundtrack, I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be a staple song of my Halloween time. So it's a fun one.
They have a lot of great songs, covers and not, that are perfect Halloween songs. I played just an hour or so before we were taping this, their song "We've Got the Treats," which is a parody of the Go-Go's "We Got the Beat," but
Oh.
it's all about having
Yeah.
all the treats from trick or treating.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining, and but they do. They do tons of lots of originals and lots of covers. And if you really like Skeleton Sam, you should check them out.
Oh yeah, I need to dive into them more.
Colin, what's
That's a
next for
good
you?
dance tune too.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for sure.
it sure is. Colin, what's next for you?
All right. For number six, I have a song simply called Ghost by Katie Toupin. She was in a band called Houndmouth, who were really great, and then she went solo, and her solo stuff's great as well. Unlike a lot of the songs I picked, this one's pretty upbeat. There is a ghost in the house. She seems scared of it, but you wouldn't know it by the music. It's just a bop. It's really fun. Super upbeat sounding song, sweet little love song, but it's about a ghost, so I love it.
Nice, nice pick. Bob, what's next for you?
You know what I like to find sometimes songs that by popular bands that are kind of Halloween songs that a lot of people don't know about. So this one is one of those, and it's the Crystal Ballroom by U2. There's you know references to ghosts and superstitions and things in that. So I think that qualifies as Halloween.
Yeah, I think so. Next for me is a song by The Alarm called The Stand. And this is, again, referencing the same Stephen King book I was mentioning earlier. But they actually wrote this because they, or at least Mike Peters, really liked that book. And it is all about come on down and take your stand. But it's all about the stuff from that book. And they throw in some extra stuff, poetic license, I suppose. But it's, I can't let an October go by without hearing that one. Kristen, what's next on your list?
Next up, and I felt so cliche putting this on the list, but I had to because I listen to it all the time, is Thriller by Michael Jackson. I mean, it's a classic. It's on every Halloween playlist. I'm not really a big Michael Jackson fan, like outside of Halloween season. I admittedly don't really know any of his music beyond like the heavy radio play songs, but I just feel like you almost just have to pay tribute to that song in a way because it's just like it's I feel like it started the whole like between the music video and everything, it's just classic. So I had to.
No, that's fine. It is definitely, it's probably one most people think about when they think about songs for Halloween. And there have been covers along the way, and some of them are good and some of them are not. But if you want to hear Thriller, you want to hear Michael Jackson's version.
Right.
Absolutely.
What's
Colin, what's.
amazing to me is I didn't realize how many other songs that Michael Jackson did that are like Halloween songs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Probably four or five of them on my
Oh,
list.
wow. At least, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Colin, what's next for you?
All right. So I wanted to pick a song that's associated with a horror movie. So I went to my favorite horror movie, which is Angel Heart from the 80s. And there's a climactic scene in that movie that they need to be both scary and sexy. And the song they use in that scene is used so well that I now think of it as a scary song, even though it's not. And it's a song by Laverne Baker called Soul on Fire, which is, like I said, very romantic song. But in the context of the movie, if you know the plot of the movie, it fits perfectly with the themes of the movie. Soul on Fire is quite literal in that scene. I can't hear the song without thinking of that scene, and I always expect the very repetitive percussion of that movie's score to kick in at a certain point in the song because I've watched the movie so many times. It's one of the best needle drops in a movie. It's used absolutely perfectly, and it's a great song on its own. So, yeah, you won't hear it the same after watching Angel Heart.
Yeah, I think I think that's a big thing for Christmas songs and for Halloween songs, that when it's a song that's not necessarily a part of that season, but it's connected to something festive and merry or something that is spooky or slasher or whatever, a horror movie or a Christmas movie, that we make that connection, and it does feel like a Halloween song or a Christmas song.
Yeah, Put a Little Love in Your Heart is now a Christmas song because of Scrooge. Yes. And it's just permanent. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great example. Bob, what's next for you?
This one's on my list really because I'm a fan of the band. It's local to me in Chicago. So it's a Silvery Sometimes Ghosts by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, nice. Nice pick. Yeah. Yeah, good that's choice. A good one. I had thought that they had several kind of Halloween songs, and then I went looking and I'm like, well, maybe they don't. I don't know. I'm not sure. But that one
there's another Smashing Pumpkins one I have on one of my CDs. It's Bullet the it's a popular one. They make reference, I think, to ghosts or something in that one too.
Okay. I'll have to take a look. My next one is an early 70s song, the most fun song about cannibalism you'll ever hear. It's called Timothy, and it's by a group, The Boys. And it was a big hit. And I think it was a big hit because it's such a fun song that nobody really paid attention to the lyrics of these three guys who were stuck in a cave-in. But when they pulled them out, there were only two. What happened to Timothy? Why don't I know? But it's a very fun song. And I went back and forth on whether this was a Halloween song. And my wife said, well, it is about cannibals. I think that would count. So
I have it on mine as well. And what's amazing, Ken, I had no idea that was a popular song. To me, it's so obscure, but it's so creepy.
Yeah.
It's a great song. And it's a good song. I mean, the rhythm is great.
It has a great beat. It's a fun song. It's really catchy. And then you start to realize what it is that they're talking about. And, oh, my God, they were hungry and they ate their friend. But it's a fun song.
I was just watching the Todd in the Shadows episode about that song. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, I had heard, and maybe you can either back this up or tell me I'm wrong. I had heard that the group did this in particular to sort of flip off their record label, because the record label kept telling them that they didn't want this and they didn't want this. They wanted something catchy that could be a hit. So they did this song, and the record label liked it and put it out, and then realized and there's nothing they could do about it because now it's a hit and it's being played on the radio. But had you heard that?
I did not hear that in the episode I watched about it. No, that's really interesting. That the cannibalism song is the one they're like, yes, please, more of this.
Kristen, what's next for you?
Next up, my biggest childhood Halloween nostalgia song, of course, Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett. I have a very specific childhood memory that stands out. So in gym class in elementary school, we had a really cool teacher, and she would set up every year this like Halloween themed kind of like obstacle course game like throughout the gym. And so I just have like such great memories of like being excited for Halloween as a kid and then getting to go to gym class and play this really fun game. And meanwhile, Monster Mash is just playing the whole time. So every time I hear it as an adult, it takes me right back. And it's a classic, of course.
Lots of interesting covers about that. We had mentioned that Bruce Springsteen covered it. There's a version that Vincent Price does. Ooh. That is
amazing.
Something special. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know who famously hated the Monster Mash? This is one of my favorite music facts.
No.
Elvis Presley said it was the dumbest thing he ever heard.
Oh, my God.
I've actually written a screenplay about that one idea because I find it so funny.
That is hilarious. I wonder how he felt about Halloween in general.
Right, yeah. He was super religious, so who knows?
True.
Colin, what's next on your list?
All right. My number four is a very atmospheric song by Bob Dylan called Man in the Long Black Coat. This is from his 80s album, Oh Mercy. It's produced by Daniel Lanois. So it's a very atmospheric New Orleans kind of production. And it's apparently based on an old, old folk song about a demon lover where a woman runs off with a demon, essentially. So in the song, it appears that she's running off with the devil, whether you want to take that literally or metaphorically. Either way, it's a really great song. When those instruments at the beginning kick in, it's just you're transported to a time and place, and it's just really great sounding song. I love it.
I love when a song can do that. That's great. Bob, what's next on your list?
This is another one. Again, it's one of my favorite bands, and that's why I really wanted to make sure this song made it to the list. It's Rock and Roll Ghost by The Replacements.
Oh, nice. Nice. Love The Replacements.
I do too. They're really one of my favorites.
My next one is The Resurrection Shuffle, this version by Clarence Clemons. Clarence didn't have a lot of solo stuff, but he did put out an album here and there, and he covered this song, which was originally a 1970s release, and now I'm bad because I can't remember who the artist was. But Clarence does a great version, and it's just a fun... It's just a fun rock song, and whether you listen to what they're talking about or not, almost a little time warpy, kind of, just because it's a dance. It's a mash. Kristen, what's next for you?
Next up, I have Twilight Zone by Golden Earring.
Nice.
So I just discovered this song in the past like 6 or 7 years. And when I did, I don't even know how I discovered it, to be honest, but I think it was just on someone else's Halloween playlist that I was listening to. And the first year, especially that I discovered it, I mean, I listened to it an insane amount of times. I just thought it was so catchy. But then I also love a super catchy song that when you actually listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh, that's like really dark. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm still obsessed with it. Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, that is a terrific one. Colin, what's next for you?
It's funny you should mention the time warp, because I figured someone would have something Rocky Horror. So I have a song from the sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture Show called Shock Treatment. Not very well known, but it has an absolutely phenomenal soundtrack. I love the movie, too. Not everyone loves the movie. But I picked the song called Little Black Dress, which is almost a self-parody of the time warp. It is so much fun, so ridiculous. It has instructions even more straightforward and silly than the time warp. You've got Jessica Harper playing Janet, and she's just an incredible actress, incredible singer. She sings the hell out of this one. And Richard O'Brien, Barry Humphries, Patricia Quinn, all on this song. It's so much fun. It gets stuck in my head all the time. The whole soundtrack is great, but this is the most Rocky Horror sounding song on there, so I picked that one.
You know, most people don't even know that there was a sequel to Rocky Horror because Tim Curry wasn't in it, I guess. But Shock Treatment. And I think that's been... people have uploaded that onto YouTube. I don't know that the movie itself is streaming anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. It's really hard to find on a physical copy, but yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're a fan of Rocky Horror, go check out, go search for Shock Treatment. Bob, what's next on your list?
The next one, and I probably the next three are going to be like, people are going to say, well, do they really qualify as Halloween songs or not? This one, because it has pumpkin in it, I consider it a Halloween song. It's The Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead by XTC.
Oh, I think that
the story
counts.
Is not very spooky, but
I think that counts. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next for me, Screamin' Jay Hawkins, Whistling Past the Graveyard. Everybody probably thought I was going to say I put a spell on you. But Whistling Past the Graveyard, which I believe he also wrote, it's just a great creepy song about whistling past the graveyard. But we've all, a lot of us anyway, have been there where we're suddenly realized that wherever we're walking, there's a graveyard over there, and you don't want to pay attention to it, but you can't help but pay attention to it. And especially this time of year. And Whistling Past the Graveyard is it's just a fun take on that. And it's been covered. Tom Waits does a really cool version of it, too. But I like I like Hawkins' original. Kristen, what's next for you?
Next up, I have the main title theme of the movie Halloween by John Carpenter. It's one of the few songs I listen to this time of year that doesn't have words. It takes a lot for me to even want to drive while listening to a song that doesn't have words, yet the Halloween theme hits when I'm driving for some reason. It's just so iconic. It gives me all the feels. I mean, I love the movie Halloween. For me, it's like just so perfectly simple yet haunting, and it's the definition of Halloween for me.
I have a great memory of that song. When I was in high school, I played drums in the marching band,
and
on Friday nights, football night, we would march down, and there was this gravel roadway that went from the school down to the stadium, and it was in between trees, so we're always coming out of the woods. And we got our xylophone player to figure out the melody of Halloween.
Oh.
And then all the rest of us are just clicking on the rims, uh-huh. And you hear the band's feet going through the gravel. As it's ding 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 ding, and that was just for Halloween. We did that, and it was just so much fun. And I can't hear that song now without thinking about that.
That's incredible. I'm so jealous. I wish we had come up with that when I was on Drumline. It's so cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Anybody who's listening who's in high school, and well, I can't imagine, but if you are in high school and you're listening to this podcast, there's a great idea for you.
And, Colin, a great song. That's a great song.
Yeah, great song. Yeah.
Spooky.
Colin, what's next for you?
All right. My number two is a song called Scarlet Town by Gillian Welch. There are other folk songs called this. It's not related. It's an original from 2011. It's about basically a haunted town. And I'm from Pennsylvania. There are a lot of like old mining towns that are just inherently creepy and almost ghost towns. And that's what I think of when I hear this song. Like, it feels like one of those Western PA towns. It's just empty and spooky, and just there used to be something here and now there's not. And maybe there's still a fire lit somewhere. It feels like it's not a haunted house or a haunted person. It's a haunted town. And I love that idea. So it's a really beautiful song, but also a really haunting song.
Nice. Bob, what's next for you?
So now this one, and it's been covered a number of times, and this is my favorite cover. And again, some might quibble that it's not Halloween, but it deals with, in my mind, it deals with candy. So that constitutes Halloween. And that's Pure Imagination by the Smoking Popes, and Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka.
Nice.
Wow, very nice. Yeah, I forgot all about that. My next one is the five-man electrical band who famously did the song Signs, Everywhere a Sign. The song is Werewolf, and it tells the story about this family, and they suspect that one of their boys is a werewolf. His bed hasn't been slept in last night. The neighbor lost some livestock, and somebody saw him outside howling at the moon. And it's just done so well. And the chorus is it any wonder we hate to see the sun go down? And it's a great story. I won't spoil the ending for you for this 50-year-old song if you haven't heard it before, but if you like that kind of thing, a spooky story in a song, Werewolf by the Five Man Electrical Band. Kristen, what's next?
Now
we're up to number one.
Yeah.
Woo!
Number one. Yeah. Probably no surprise based off what I said earlier, but this is Halloween, Marilyn Manson's version specifically. So you're psychic. once again, Marilyn Manson will always be number one for me, and just everything he touches gets creepier than the original. Huge Nightmare Before Christmas fan, so I am a big fan of the original soundtrack as well, but I love when people in general cover those songs and put their own touch, and that's I kind of have an unofficial ceremony, like with myself, like usually alone when I'm driving, of like when I make my first visit to a Spirit Halloween store, and like it's like my official kickoff of the Halloween season is listening to This Is Halloween by Marilyn Manson for the first time in the year. And that's when I know, like, all right, it's begun.
I love Nightmare Before Christmas. I had always thought that the song This Is Halloween, while it's about some creepy things, it's so sing-songy and happy that it's not really scary. But Marilyn Manson takes that and really turns it on its head. And it keeps the heart of that song, but he really makes it his own. And it is something you should listen to with the lights on.
Yeah, for sure.
Colin, what's at the top of your list?
All right. This is the most obvious choice, I think, on my list. But for me, it's the definitive Halloween song that I have to hear and I have to watch the whole thing it's from, which is from Disney's Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the Headless Horseman song by Bing Crosby. Nice. I love everything Sleepy Hollow. The short story is just, it's one of my favorite short stories. It's so atmospheric and well written. And honestly, Disney, not usually famous for adapting things faithfully, nails it. Love the whole short, and that song is where the thing turns from very light into something much darker, but it's such a catchy song. Absolutely love it. It's just really, really hooky and catchy, and the animation when you watch it, it really pops. It's just a wonderful, wonderful song, and I love it. There are some covers, but I love the one from the movie specifically the most.
Have you ever heard the one Thurl Ravencroft, his one?
Yes, yeah. the guy who sang the Haunted Mansion song singing Headless Horseman. Yeah. That's
good. Yeah. What I love about Bing's version, and he narrates the whole the animated feature, but that this is the guy, this is White Christmas, and the crooner of all crooners, that you're expecting that kind of song, and then wait, what did he say? He's looking for a top to chop. What? Because it just, the lyrics of it, especially for when that came out, goes so against the image of Bing Crosby. It's amazing. And it is a really, especially for the time, it's a really spooky song, and it is very catchy. I love it.
Yeah.
Bob, what's at the top of your list?
Well, mine is, it's also, I consider it's an ode to Nightmare Before Christmas. And you may not realize it at first until you really listen to the lyrics, but it's I Miss You by Blink 182.
Oh.
They talk about, talks about Jack and Sally, Halloween like Christmas. It really, it speaks to the Nightmare Before Christmas, and it's a great song.
I love finding songs that do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so much fun. Top of my list, Aurelio Voltaire, When You're Evil. If you're not familiar with Voltaire, so much of his stuff is goth and Halloween-y. And When You're Evil is kind of like his signature song. It's done so well. And there's a terrific fan-made video that is on YouTube. And I mention YouTube a lot, and they're not sponsors of this by any stretch of the imagination. But if you're work at YouTube and you want to kick back a little something, that's fine. But the video that they've made about When You're Evil features all of these animated villains from all of these Disney movies, which could mean that Disney has taken it down now. I haven't checked. But it's really cool, and the song is just about what it's like to be evil and the things that they do. And it's not the big things, it's the small things, the pebble in your shoe and all this different stuff. And it's fun, and it gets to the end and he sounds like he's lamenting about how lonely it is when you're evil. And you start to feel like this guy's not so bad, you know. And then he says, I'm lying through my teeth. And he's just so happy to be evil. And it's great. Voltaire has written and recorded so many songs about monsters and vampires and bats and so many. So if you're not familiar with his work, go and you like Halloween music, you're in for a treat. You're in for many albums of treats, and it is hard to pick one, but I feel like this is, and he released a sequel to this a couple years ago. Anyway, he's worth checking out if you're not familiar with him. And even if you are, you might have missed some of him. He had an album that came out last year. So definitely check him out. Anybody have any leftovers, honorable mention kind of songs or anything like that?
I mean, there's a number, but like I like the Spider-Man theme that Michael Bublé does. He does a great version of the Spider-Man theme. I love Dancing in the Moonlight. I think that applies, you know, by King Harvest. Don't Fear the Reaper. Again, that's a classic, you know.
I had on mine, Florence and the Machine have so many spooky kind of songs. The one that I have on mine is My Boy Builds Coffins. And it's just a great, and you know, one day he's going to build one for you. It's a lot of fun. Judy Garland in concert did a cover of the Purple People Eater.
Jeez.
And it's really a treat as she starts talking about all of these scary movies that, you know, at the time, early 60s maybe, and then goes into the song and how the Purple People Eater won't eat her because she's red. And it's just, it's very cute and it's very unexpected. Nick Lutzko, who I'm not sure if he's a parody kind of guy like Weird Al or if he's a comic who also does songs, but he did one a few years ago called Where Did the Gremlins Go? And it's about how we never got a Gremlins 3 and all of these other stupid movies that we've gotten multiple sequels, but what happened to the Gremlins? And it's just a lot of fun for anybody who liked the Gremlins. The original movies, like both a Halloween and a Christmas movie, but it's a lot of fun. So that's it. Anybody else have any other?
I really like Baby, You're a Haunted House by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance fame. I'm also a pretty decent Lady Gaga fan, so Monster and Bloody Mary are often in my rotation this time of year. And pretty much just the theme song from any Halloween movie that's ever, horror movie that's ever existed. Or I have Friday the 13th on here, the theme, Addams Family, of course. But there's not a lot about Halloween music that I don't like. So it could go on and on.
Colin, you've got anything left?
Yeah, I had a few others I considered. I was thinking about music that just feels like fall in general and not quite Halloween, so I didn't include it, but like a song called Autumn Song by Van Morrison, which mentions Halloween, but it's mostly just kind of a seasonal feeling. It's like a 10-minute vibe of a song. I really like it. I thought the same thing about the Zombies, anything by them, which is very autumn feeling, and they have a horror name. Not really Halloween music, but it's kind of around that. And yeah, I agree about horror movie themes. I really like the theme for Halloween 3 as well. It's kind of an interesting synth-sounding theme that John Carpenter wrote, even though he didn't direct that movie. That's one of my favorite horror movie themes as well.
I like a lot of the autumn songs, and this time of year that they really fit. I like Harvest Moon by Neil Young, so Autumn Leaves, the classic standard that has been covered by everybody. So many of those are great this time of year. But really, you know, if there's a song, whether it's about spooky stuff or trick-or-treating or whatever, if it gives you that Halloween feel, it counts. So hopefully listening to this, you got some great songs to add to your own playlist. Before we wrap things up, what do you guys have coming up? Kristen, what's coming up on Holidays After Dark?
So I got a new episode coming out 2 days after we're recording this about Tim Burton and the world of Tim Burton and his films and how it relates to Halloween. I do a Halloween favorite things list that I started last year, and I'm adding on to it this year with an episode that comes out Halloween week. Got some interviews coming up that I'll be releasing. So we're in the heavy hitter season now for us holiday podcasters, as you all are well aware of. So definitely pushing through, and so lots of exciting stuff. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I was going to ask, what's the best place for people to find you?
Yeah, I mean, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeart Radio, a bunch of other random little ones. And then on social media, like Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Facebook, at Holidays Podcast, or just search Holidays After Dark, and it'll come up.
Great. Colin, what's coming up on Scrooge, A Christmas Carol?
So in the first season of the podcast, I mentioned that I created an adaptation meter where I just score every adaptation on accuracy just to very specific plot points. It's not the only thing I score it by, but a lot of people said, hey, I want to see what you're scoring it by. I want to see each adaptation point. So I'm like, okay, I'll make a video where I go over that. Mm-hmm. So I have an upcoming video before November where I'm going to go down the list and compare a bunch of adaptations from the first season kind of as a recap and score them on that. And then November, beginning of November, I am going to be kicking off my second season with my episode on Mickey's Christmas Carol, and that'll be the first episode of November, and you can find me Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere, and it's just at Scrooge Pod if you're looking for the at, or just Scrooge, A Christmas Carol Podcast, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.
Great. Bob, what's coming up for you?
So this year, for the first time, we decided to do we call it Creepmas in October. So we're doing, Christmas haunted kind of or horror Christmas movies. So we just, our most recent episode was on Canada, and we did the classic Black Christmas 1974 by Bob Clark. And then the next episode coming up, we're going to Belgium and we're going to watch a movie called The Advent Calendar. And you can find me in all those same places that we just talked about, as well as Buzzsprout, too. That's our host. So find us there, too.
Okay, great. I will put links down in the show notes for all three of you so people can click over and find you. And then it's up to them to go from there. And hopefully they'll listen to all your stuff and they'll subscribe so they won't miss any episodes. So cool. Thank you guys so much for spending some time and talking about all of these spooky songs.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I can't wait.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
I've found some new songs. This is great.
Yeah, same. I did too.
Very cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening and helping us share some Halloween spirit and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station and you're listening to the podcast now. So my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that. I'll put a link to that down in the show notes. But you can click that and hop over, find your favorite, and then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus and the Great Pumpkin.